It's been right there at the forefront of the agricultural news the last several days, with the new administration taking over and implementing several moves on trade. And trade, of course, is imperative to agriculture. We'll expand on that. What all of this means to our agricultural marketing abroad. We'll talk now with an agricultural economist at K-State who also directs the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center at the university, Brian Brigeman. Brian, the essential nature of open trade for agriculture, mm-hmm. there's really not much denying that. And in fact, agriculture is one of the sectors where we've enjoyed a trade surplus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, if you look back at some of the USDA forecasts for agricultural trade in a report they released back in November, the outlook for agricultural trade looks to be pretty positive. They're forecasting exports to be up about $1 billion from the previous year. And imports to be down just slightly, about $600 million from the previous year. And all this, you know, leads to, again, a trade surplus. So looking at the difference between exports and imports for agriculture, adding into the overall economy. Now, it's not with the difficult times and where we're at, it's not near the trade surplus that we had back in the heyday, if you will, of the big run-up in net farm incomes. You know, back then we had roughly a trade surplus of around $40 billion, you know, 2011-12. But today we're about half, roughly, looking at a trade surplus of $20 billion. So not only has it benefited agriculture, but it also benefits the overall U.S. economy by adding back.
And a very generic question here. How much have our various trade agreements contributed to that success in sustaining a surplus mm-hmm. of trade?
That's a good question. Of course, you know, in order to have trade, we need to have governments to be able to sit down and agree upon certain terms. Now, do they always follow them? Well, we can probably find plenty of case studies where it doesn't. But certainly having free trade agreements, whether it's bilateral or something like NAFTA, does benefit because it reduces those barriers to trade. And by doing that, it benefits all parties. Now, certainly there are, and when I say party, I'm meaning more the overall economy. Certainly there are going to be some things that will take a hit. For example, in NAFTA, as you begin to see, like the automotive sector, we see capital will flow down into Mexico, for example, and that hurts, you know, because we see maybe Mexico can do something more efficiently in terms of capital deployment, which does benefit us as consumers, right? Because we can pay less for particular goods and services. But there's no question that it can provide some pain for folks. But generally in agriculture, we see that being a really pretty big positive thing for us in ag. So, you know, as we look at different agreements that are out there, I would argue that it has been a great benefit to agriculture and even to the overall economy as a whole.
In specific terms here, looking at recent actions by the new administration on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, again, the U.S. is now withdrawing from that pact. In its stead, they're looking at developing independent bilateral trade agreements with various countries in a way of compensation for lack of TPP. Can that be accomplished to the benefit of agriculture?
I would be optimistic in that, and I think it can. And the reason that I would say that, at least on the grain side as well as the livestock side, we have a very strong voice in Washington, D.C. We have strong leadership, the sorghum, corn, cattlemen's association, pork. I mean, now on down the list. And that's what we are going to have. So for us out here in the countryside, producers need to be reaching out to those individuals to voice, you know, that, look, we need trade. It's important to us. Continue to have that open discussion about how it can benefit us. And that's where we need to start, because you're right. TPP is gone. You know, we need to start looking at those bilateral trade agreements. Like I said before, I'm optimistic. I would forecast that, you know, we're still – the USDA report, at least here in the near term, is probably going to be pretty close to accurate here in 17. Beyond, we'll have to wait and see, because trade agreements take a bit of time. But I wouldn't sit there and say, well, just because TPP is gone, it's going to be horrible for agriculture. I don't believe that at all.
And not to continue to shovel dirt on TPP, but you note that that pact – actually had its flaws that were not publicized terribly compared to what was perceived to be lost from being removed from TPP.
Yeah, one of the things, and it always comes out a little bit later, you start to read a little bit more and have a better understanding of, well, what was it exactly? And all you really have to do is just look back to like December and even before then, before the election. It looked like TPP was on its way out the door, regardless of who won the presidency. But maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing for the overall economy and even for agriculture. Certainly, there's plenty of research and numbers that were estimated that showed TPP would be strong for us. But there were a lot of things within TPP that were highly politicized and maybe almost even protectionist. And so, if I was addressing agriculture, and I do this when I do my Outlook talks, don't feel like the end of TPP is the end of grain trade. Mm-hmm. We'll move on to the next one, like you said, bilateral free trade agreements, and hopefully we can reduce those barriers so we can have trade.
Well, the other action, equally high profile and maybe even a shade more volatile, the renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement and then the sidebar, if you will, frictions with Mexico over mm-hmm. trade and other issues. And what that's going to mean to grain trade, and we certainly know livestock trade as well, mm-hmm. could potentially be impacted here.
Some of the folks that I follow and I talk to about NAFTA feel that agriculture will be okay. We've had free trade and open trade with Mexico and Canada well before NAFTA. So it's a long-standing relationship when it comes to agriculture. Now, could it happen that we would see, maybe some particular tariffs or import taxes or something be levied on us? I mean, sure, I guess it could happen, but it wouldn't be my guess as what could occur. My hope would be that we can maintain some sort of free trade because it has. It has benefited. I mean, the numbers would bear it out. The United States, Mexico, and Canada, we all have benefited from it, from the overall economy.
There are still external issues beyond just trade, though, that mm-hmm. that may complicate this picture.
Yeah, certainly. You look at it, and if we were to get into a protectionist type situation where we want to protect our borders and put up whatever trade barriers towards others. So what does that mean, right? If we were to have more protectionist type situation, it would be bad.
That phrase, of course, is bandied about. What is meant by protectionism? Maybe it's worthwhile to step back and comment on that.
Right. So when we think about protectionism, probably the most dubious thing of it is really the government is going in and picking winners and losers. Whatever the industry is, you're going to be the winner. So maybe it's the automotive industry. We want to try to protect those jobs. Well, what does that mean for us as consumers? Certainly, maybe it creates a few more jobs there. But overall, the economy, it could send us into a recession. It could send, for example, in like Mexico's case, it could send them into a depression if we were to have something like that come in. And why does that happen? From an economic standpoint, protectionism, what it does is it restricts consumer choices. It raises prices for everyone. Again, the government is into picking winners and losers, and potentially because of us limiting our exports can help to trigger inflation for us. And that can really be detrimental to the overall economy. So without getting to a lot of it, of the nitty-gritty details of it, all of those things, when economists go out and talk, we don't talk about limiting choice. We don't talk about raising consumer prices. We want to see more choices. We want to see a competitive market. And to have that, part of that is benefited by free trade. We need to have that. There's a huge body of literature that shows the benefits of free trade to all parties who are involved.
And lastly, Brian, it's your belief that we, after all of this wrangling over trade of late, may see very few changes in trade, agriculturally speaking, in 2017, correct?
Yeah, I would not, if I was to look in my crystal ball, which I will for you, Eric, just for you, Eric.
Thank you.
Okay. I would say that in 17 here, we're not going to see a whole lot of change. I think we'll continue to have agricultural trade here through 17. The projections, I think, will hold. However, if we begin to enter into some protectionist type policies, countries won't just stand by. They will not stand idly by. They will retaliate. It's happened numerous times in history. So we need to be careful. You know, we need to have strong leadership for agriculture in Washington, D.C., which I think we have, continuing to really promote and discuss the benefits that free trade can bring, not just to agriculture, but the United States as a whole.
Brian, the observation's appreciated. Many thanks to you.
Thanks, Eric.
He's an agricultural economist at K-State, also again directs the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center here at the university. Brian Brigeman with his thinking on the recent dialogue over trade issues here in the United States and addressing trade agreements with other countries.